Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Just as a person travelling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is the process of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. At the time of death, according to his mental condition, the living being is carried by the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego, to another gross body. When higher authorities have decided that what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up his previous body. Dull-minded persons who do not have the intelligence to understand the process of transmigration take for granted that when the gross body is finished, one's life is finished forever. Such persons have no brains with which to understand the process of transmigration. At the present moment, there is a great opposition to the Hare Krishna movement, which is called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Because of their devilish brains, they will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditional life of material existence. How this transmigration of the soul takes place is clearly, very clearly explained in this verse. Omagina talamanda sha galangana salaikaya shakshashomilitamina tasmai shri guru namaha Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Stai Bhutale Shmani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamane Namah Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Stai Bhutale Shmani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamane Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharane, Navishesha, Sanyavani, Pastachari, Dashitarane. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Tanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadada, Shivasadi, Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so these nice verses here. They're very, very like Bhagavad Gita, very, very Bhagavad Gita verses, which are ultimately coming from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This translation, just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other. So we're talking towards transmigration of the soul. And also I was thinking another angle is also that the soul, the spirit, is never still. It's never in one place. We're always forced to act. The spirit is always forced to act, as in the one of the nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 3.5, that the explains that all men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So you're not staying in one place in this material world. You're always, the modes of nature are there, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And whenever, you know, you try to, what we say, negate, there's no such thing. You're either going down or going up in your consciousness. You know, you're either in passion or ignorance or goodness. Through goodness, we use that as a step towards visuddhisattva, towards transcendental knowledge. So every moment as well, that means we have a choice, because ultimately nothing really belongs to us in this world. Everything does belong to Krishna. But what he has given us is moment-to-moment choice, every moment, every second. That's why Srila Prabhupada explains to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is Krishna consciousness. Is to always remember the Lord, see him in everything we do, try to remember the Lord. I'm preaching to myself at this point, because it's very easy to forget Krishna. So we have moment-to-moment choice to go towards the Lord and also turn away from him. So we should make, as Prabhupada explains, make the best use of a bad bargain. We're in this material body, and it's a very temporary vehicle. You know, it's every moment it's changing. Whilst we sit in this room right now, you know, after we go out the room, or even before you could put a microscope, special microscope, and see all the cells, everything's changing in the body. We're actually aging because time is ticking away, and time is taking everything away. So this great knowledge that we have has all the answers. And in this verse, like yesterday was spoken about, adinosmi yatadehi kamaram yuvanam jara, as the body changes from boyhood to youth to old age, and similarly at death, the body, the spirit goes into another body, transmigration. So this is like, Prabhupada explains, it's like a sleeping condition. When you die, you're just, in a way, sleeping a little bit longer. You know, we sleep for 7 hours, but when you die, it's around about 7 months, then you transmigrate into another body. And hopefully as devotees, we don't want to keep coming round and round in this material world. And it explains that it's consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego. So it's quite deep philosophy, this Krishna consciousness. What we say, this is underneath the gross body, made up of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, there's the subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and ego. And there's a difference between, most people sometimes think in this age that the body and the mind are the same. But Prabhupada explains this is foolishness, or the body and the soul are the same. But we understand, the first thing Srila Prabhupada explains is you're not the body. You're actually the spirit soul. You know, the car and the driver are driving down the road, but the driver and the car are not the same. When the car stops, the driver gets out. So when the body dies, the soul carries on. And the beauty of Krishna consciousness, in a way, is it's helping us establish who we are as a spirit, and who the Supreme Lord is, and the relationship between the soul and the Supreme, which is very important, because it's based on devotion. This is called bhakti yoga. Bhakti means devotion, as we understand, and yoga means the yoke, to link. So the devotional aspect is a sincerity of our heart to surrender to the Lord. And because Krishna doesn't need anything from us. God, as I say, God's not a poor man. He's very wealthy. Everything belongs to Krishna. So, but when he sees, Prabhupada gives example, when a child is with his father, the father is sheltering the child. He doesn't really need anything from the child. But when the child is eating his sweet and he's chewing it and he takes it out and he offers it back to the father then, out of love, he reciprocates. That's our situation in the material world. We're down here with a chewed up sweet, you know, we're trying to offer it. But Krishna's very merciful. So he reciprocates. So on that subject, thinking that the body and the soul are the same, but they're actually different. And even more of a problem, Prabhupada explains, is sometimes people think when you're the spirit and God are the same, you and God are the same, which is a big problem. Because as we understand, we're the same but different. We're of the same quality but not of the same quantity of God. We're like a part and parcel. We're like a spark from a big fire. We have the Lord's attributes in very minute form and minute quantity. We're not the same as God. We're his servants. Jivara Srupoi Krishnaya Nichadas. This is the original constitution of the spirit, of the living entities to serve. And that's our great fortune. You'll see in the world as we grow older, unless we're trying to become more selfless and give and help others, otherwise it's a lonely road of trying to make your own paradise. And so in Bhakti Yoga, when we're chanting the holy name, we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, it's awakening our original spiritual position as a servant of God, which brings us more into the mood of an eternal servant. So so the body and the soul are different. When the higher authorities have decided what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up the previous body. So there's higher authorities. There's, this material world's not just run out of chance and fate. You know, it's nothing happens by accident. There's no accidents. Krishna explains, not a blade of grass moves without my sanction. And there's the demigods, there's the devas, and there's 33 million principal demigods that are operating all the elements. So when the soul, depending on what we've done in our previous life, the Lord, through his external energies, are operating the next destination of the spirit. Krishna explains that, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyachesha Karakaranam Hetuino Kunti Ya Jagadav Vipravartente. This material nature is very difficult to overcome. It's my external energies. And that's it. Directional son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, by its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So, Krishna's in charge ultimately, and underneath him everything's working under his order. Like Prabhupada gives the example, when there's a police force and a king, if there's trouble in town, the police force go to sort the situation out. The king doesn't have to come himself. So Krishna's energies are working under his direction, and everything's being organized. It's very organized, actually. When you leave your body, as I understand, there's a nice example when some people say, do you believe in reincarnation? How does it work? But it's like, as an example, when you're at school, sometimes you're in class, if you don't try so hard, you can drop a set, and then if you're doing quite well at school, you may go up a set. So in the next life, we depending on what we do in this life, we're actually the architects of our destiny. This human form of life. Prabhupada explains that, you do so much, people do so much studying and so many mundane subject matters and giving their life to the temporary. But life can be simple living and high thinking. You don't have to work too hard materially, but spiritually we should become introspective. And Prabhupada explains that no one prepares for the most important exam. In that most important exam is death of the body. Because at the time of death, as explains in chapter 8, text 6 of Bhagavad Gita, whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam bhav. That bhava, that deep feeling in the heart, that's what carries us at death. So, we want to chant the holy name. Chanting at death. We're preparing for death as well. People don't like to talk about death these days, but actually there's no death. The soul's eternal, ultimately. It's but whatever you... If at the time of death, it may be difficult to remember the Lord or chant sometimes, but if we're practicing sadhana means practice, so we should you know, keep our practice. So Prabhupada also explains no brains. They have no brains. I was just thinking, you know, sometimes in material society they're judged by, as explains like in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that you, you know, in Kali Yuga, everything's judged externally. You know, a man's beauty is judged by his hairstyle. You know, many things are and how much money he's got, he'll be seen as a great person. It's very external. And people work very hard. They maybe get good qualifications. Someone may be a good manager, a good organizer, good timekeeper. But if he's doing that without Krishna in the center, it's a very futile situation. And but real intelligence, this may seem intelligent, but real intelligence means questioning. Prabhupada explains the symptoms of intelligence is to question and doubt. But at a certain point, a person should inquire. Atata brahma jigyasu. Like this point, you know, this story or this pastime in the Bhagavatam, this is about Kamsa and Lord Krishna ultimately coming into the world. And Kamsa's trying to make plans to kill the Lord. He's going along on his chariot, and with his sister. She's just got married, and Vasudev, and he hears a voice from the sky that says, "The eighth child of your sister is going to cause your death." So he doesn't accept it. He can't handle it. He's so attached to material control. And this is the, you know, this is an example of demoniac nature. And he's trying to control everything in his hands, and he goes to even take his sister's life. He doesn't even think. His intelligence is instantly lost. He's thinking about survival and me, and I'm the center of the universe. And this is not a good example. But then we see Parikshit Maharaj, who's actually asking these asking the questions to Sukadeva Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj, he was to die in 7 days. He had only 7 days to live. But he didn't do that. He didn't rebel. He could have counteracted the curse from Sringi, the Brahmin son of Shamakamuni. He could have, because he had so much Shakti as a pure devotee. But he saw it as God's will. He was whatever the Lord, Krishna's in control. Right? Let the Lord, as they say, let go and let God, you know, let him, let's see how closer I can come to Krishna. And so he didn't eat or drink for 7 days. He took shelter straight away at the sages. He approached the Ganges, and there were so many great sages there. And Sukadeva Goswami turned on the scene, and he was questioning. And Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit means one who examines. He's examining. So this is what we should follow in his footsteps. That's why all these great devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these role models and examples we should follow. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by his exemplary acts, the whole world pursues. So, you know, he was questioning about that question. What is the question? And what is Satyam Krityam? As it's a pure question. The most important question is, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj asks, you know, what's the most, what's a man meant to do in this world? What in general is a man meant to do? And what is a dying person meant to do, one who's got 7 days to live? So Sukadeva Goswami explains to him that these are two very good questions, but actually, they're one question, because you never know when you're going to die. So one should inquire. Prabhupada talks a little bit about that. He says, what's before death? What comes before death? And it's old age, as we understand, old age. And then Prabhupada says, how do you know if you're old? Because some people die young, in young bodies, you know, so it does, they don't look old. So you never know when death's coming, because you could be old already. It may be our time. So Sukadev, Parikshit Maharaj was actually inquiring, but it's this important question. That's why we go out on the book distribution, is to share this knowledge. And I was just sort of, when I was reading the purport, something came to mind when we were talking about the brainwashing, and there was this movement, you know, what were they called? The brainwashing, they went against deprogrammers. There was back in more in the 60s and 70s, they were trying to deprogram devotees. I think I don't know if it's happening now so much. I know one devotee that did, his parents tried to get him deprogrammed. But he's a very good devotee, actually very strong, and he went with it for a little while. And when they thought they had him, he went back, and then he came back to the devotees. He played along with them. He pretty much went with everything they were given, and he was seeing it as a test. And but I was thinking to myself, these deprogrammers and all this—they don't really say we're brainwashers these days, because if you look at the state things are in, the way the world is with all the news. I mean, the news is always pretty bad, but then you've got the media is not controlled anymore. It's all on Facebook, and people's got the mobile phones. They're taking pictures and filming everything going on. And it must make a lot of people, a collective of the masses, are as you would say, becoming introspective with the scales of introspection, and looking over maybe at the government and the media and the scientists. And then looking at their self, thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's it all about? Or meaning like we haven't got too many opposition. But there is always opposition, but not this sort of opposition. It sort of seems in some ways like the deprogrammers might be coming to us soon to ask for some answers, you know, because it seems like we're... Krishna consciousness is the sanest, and only spiritual knowledge is the only sane recipe, because the world, as we know, Kali Yuga does as it goes on and on, deeper and deeper, it gets worse and worse, and ultimately we're very fortunate we got our golden age of 10,000 years, but you can see that golden age is within serious Krishna consciousness and serious commitment to spiritual knowledge. And that's what's protecting us is the holy name, is the devotees, the association devotees, the distribution of books and prasadam and harinams. Prabhupada said that there may have been a nuclear war already if it wasn't for all these great pastimes. The holy name being able to be chanted in the streets, it's slowing down the reactions. And it's purifying the consciousness of all living entities. So, death is there. You know, we're talking about the transmigration back from brainwashing to the also about the changing of the bodies. We see that as I was going back to Parikshit Maharaj, the questions he asks. These questions don't get asked so much these days. They're very, as we see the change of society and everything, they're very brushed under the table and covered. And many years ago, people would talk and philosophize about life after death, and it was quite a clean subject. But now it's hidden. And so there was a story when one person, it's just a story about Lord Yamaraj, one man died, and he died unexpectedly. He had a heart attack, and he next thing you know, he was in. Lord Yamaraj was sent his scribe to tell him, you know, where he's going to next. And he said, "Hey, what happened? You know, I'm 1 minute I'm alive, next minute I'm dead. You know, you didn't give me any warning. You know, you didn't tell me anything. At least some warning." He said, and Yamaraj came along. He said, "Yeah, actually," he said, "we did send you warning. You know, we sent you." Grey hair, you know, we sent you a cane to walk, you know, walk on. We sent you glasses. These are just signs of, you know, not having a go at us. I mean, I've got grey hairs coming, but it's just time's ticking away. And, you know, as Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he's with the Pandavas and he goes to that lake and there's the water's poisoned, and it tells, a voice comes, says, don't drink the water, but first answer the questions. And it's Lord Yamaraj there in disguise as a yaksha. And he asks him, what's the most amazing thing in this world? What's the most... wonderful thing in this world? Yudhisthira, he answers, there's 48 questions and there's four main ones, and that one is, what's the most wonderful thing in this world? He says, the most wonderful thing in this world is that a man's in this world and he sees people being born, people dying, and many people going to Yamaraj's abode, and many of his, relatives, they've died. And he knows death will come to him, but he hears death will come, but he never thinks it's going to come. He never thinks death is coming. So this is like a sort of a disease of the age is where we think we're going to live forever. I had a friend recently, and not a close friend, but an acquaintance down at the gym, and he was there for a while, and we were friends, we trained a bit together, and he one day he turned up without his stuff with him, and he had his shorts on. I said, where are you going? You're going on holiday. And this was just before, and he said, well, I am actually, yeah. And I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Africa. And I said, you better be careful down in Africa, because he said, oh, you've got to go be careful anywhere you go. I said, yeah, fair enough. But I said, Africa's other places, but there is, can get uncontrolled, like anywhere, but also. Anyway, he said, oh, I'm going to Tunisia. So I said, well, take care, look after yourself. He said, it's a holiday resort, I'll be okay. So he went, and then it's 4 days, 5 days later, we heard that he was dead. He got caught up in the shooting, that guy that went with the... shot all the people on the beach, and he got hit on the beach, and he never came back. So one minute they're there, one minute you're not. You know, that's the nature of this world. And a lot of the people on that beach, they thought it was fireworks going off. They didn't know the sound of the gunshot. And by the time it was too late, they were... I know it's a bit of a heavy subject, but this is the nature of the material world. You know, it's a good place. We're eternal, but we have this knowledge, but the body is very, very futile, and it's very, life is very delicate. As Prabhupada explains, life is like hanging on at the end of the leaf, like a drop of water, you know. So let's go down a bit more. We can look at what the scientists and the philosophers, Prabhupada talks that these scientists, they think they know, they have the answers, but there's no real... They don't actually question enough. That, I mean, the scientists, what would we say? They find it amazing that a Sputnik, Prabhupada explains, a Sputnik can go into outer space, but they don't really question who's keeping these planets and all these great globes in orbit. So there should be a deeper approach to that. They're misleading people, which is not good. So Prabhupada said that when he went to the universities, he was in a university, I think, and he's speaking to the students, and he said that, I look here, it's a very nice university. There's many different departments, but there's no department which studies the soul. And studies what's life after death. And this is only revealed by the Supreme Lord. This is, if one is sincerely inquiring, then Krishna, as you approach, he'll reward us accordingly. He'll give us, as te sam sata yuktanam bhajatam priti porvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yinamam upiyanti te. As you approach Krishna with love and devotion, he'll give you the understanding by which to come. So it's sort of, it's a simple, Prabhupada says simple for the simple, but complicated for the complicated. So But we do, in this age, most of us have complicated wiring, you know, minds. So, but the more we chant and association devotees, the better, the more purified we become and the more focused, and we'll see the goal. And another point, Prabhupada explained about a nice thing about not being the body. He was in a school once, and a few times, and then he was, there's some children there, and he was talking to the teacher, and then the kids were looking over at Prabhupada because he was dressed like, obviously, a swami, and they're wondering what it was about. So Prabhupada said, young boy, he said, point to your arm, you know, point to your arm, and then, you know, point to your chest, point to your leg, point to your head. Now point to you, point to yourself. But if you point to there, it's a chest, it's an arm. Who are you? So meaning there is a difference between the body and the soul. It's as we're sort of on the topic of the transmigration of the spirit, you could also say many people don't understand reincarnation. And sometimes you may ask them to look at a photo. You could say, get a photo of when you were a young person. And when you look at the photo, you could say, that's me. But actually, it's a different body. You're not in that same body now. Every 7 years, the body changes, even scientifically, the internal organs, everything regenerates. But when you... So what's the same on that photo? Are you sure that's you? Yeah, that is me. But you're not in the same body. Yeah, I know, but something's the same. Yeah, something's the same. Consciousness. What's behind the eyes, you know? The body's not the same. The spirit, though. The spirit never changes. You, as an eternal spirit, you're always linked to Krishna. You never cease to exist. So, we spoke a little bit about brainwashing, and I followed the notes a bit here. Trying to... let's see there. The Hare Krishna movement, which is being called brainwashing movement. Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. So time is there. Time is taking away our life, of course. But Prabhupada explains that when you, for a devotee, when death comes, he sees Krishna. Krishna comes as death. But for a non-devotee, for one who turns away from Krishna, who hasn't used their life to sort of go towards the Lord, then Krishna comes as time. Time is there, taking our life away. And I was just thinking that Prabhupada said that sometimes there's conflicts, but where people try to control and take care of their possessions in a way of, not just take care, but own things in a way of thinking that they don't belong to God. Only everything does belong to the Supreme Lord. Ishwarasham Adam Savam Yakinchat Jagatam Jagat Tina Twaktina Punjitam Agriha Kisiswidanam. Everything animate and inanimate in this world is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should not take more than what belongs to him, knowing well to whom it belongs. So we have a certain quota. And it's quite obvious in this world that you cannot take things with you. I'm just thinking, because it's marathon time now and we're going out on the street and meeting people, and you know, we don't need to shudder them too much with hard sort of philosophy, but at the same time, it's, people do think when we talk a little bit about that everything in this world is temporary and we cannot take everything with us. So what's the real goal of life? And Prabhupada, he explains that ultimately everything that belongs to the Lord, sometimes there's this Bengali proverb that explains that when people are fighting, sometimes there's wars and that they're trying to occupy lands. The Lord, he sort of smiles and he says, "That's not your land," you know. And Prabhupada gives an example that when there were the fights between the Muslims and the Hindus in the partition in 1947, Prabhupada was out on the street afterwards and he said there was many bodies laying around, he said, and they were fighting over land and who owned their land. But he said, you could have gone up to their body and asked, whose land is this now? What do you own? Nothing. It actually belongs to God. So everyone's causing, you know, trying to control Prakriti Kriyamana ni Gunakarmana Sarvasya Ahankara Vimadatma Kartaya Michimanyate. The spirit soul's bewildered by the false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities, which in actuality are carried out by the three modes of nature. So yeah, ultimately everything belongs to Krishna, and we belong to Krishna. We're servants of the Lord, and we should dovetail everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada gives a nice example of as the rivers are flowing into the ocean, that it gives the ocean, it's giving itself to the ocean, and then the cloud comes, it takes the water from the ocean, and it moves along, and it rains again, and it gives back to the rivers, and the rivers give again to the ocean. So everything we got in this life is given to us by Krishna, and everything we do, and you know, Yakaroshi Yajahashi. This 9:27 verse, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering unto me. So ultimately we try and just carry on and give everything back to the Lord through devotional service. So that was a bit of a struggle for me. Well, I'm just going to stop there. Has anyone got any questions?